not actually going to start on him. Although he's not that big.
No, I think you could start on him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think I could start. Personally, you could start on anyone.
You might start and be finishing that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I could probably start and finish the buffet quicker. They say things happen in threes, and right now, three is the magic number for Reading. After three goals at Wigan bring 3 points, a third win in a row, and fourth place in the Championship. We'll look at Reading are a force to be reckoned with, or should we continue to stay cautious? In Pub Chat, we'll grade Yapstam's signings on the first few months at the club, while contracts, Premier League quality, the chance of a Stam exit, and much more come up in the mailbag. All of that, and much, much more, on the Tyler Stem Podcast, episode 106. We've got the record for longest Tyler Stem podcast, 106. Doesn't quite go so well, gents, does it?
No, I don't think Y25 is going to be chanting that anytime soon.
No, don't
definitely,
think.
Definitely not.
Well, those two voices you have heard are Tyler Stem deputy editor Johnny Williams. Johnny, hello.
Afternoon.
And returning conquering hero, founder of all Reading podcasts, Mr. Alan West. Westy, hello.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back again.
Yeah, absolutely. We've freshened, shuffled the pack, come up with a nice new lineup ahead of the international break. And what should be a pretty positive podcast, guys. I can't really find, but when I was looking through the list, not that I go out of my way to find negative things, but it's all generally pretty positive around the club right now.
It's been amazing. Speaking of 106s, did anyone see Sidwell's goal this week?
Halfway line, lovely.
Unbelievable shot.
Left foot as well.
Really good. No, it's been great. There's a good buzz around the club at the moment. I think we was talking earlier in the season about, you know, have we got enough goals in the team? And I remember being here saying, if long as you're scoring all over the place, then you don't really need a main goal scorer. And that's pretty much what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, well, we'll get on to a three-goal performance, as mentioned, at the DW Stadium very shortly. But just before we come on to that, just very quickly, as I have done in the last couple of weeks, just plug the crowdfunding campaign that is still going on. If you do have a couple of quid in your pocket at the end of every month and you like what we do here on the podcast and on the website, head over to the link that's associated with this podcast episode on the website, and you can follow the link there and you can donate as much as you want, whether it's it goes in dollars, unfortunately, because that's the nature of the website. But if it's $1 or $50, it doesn't matter. Even if it's for 1 month, $1, it just shows that little bit of extra appreciation and very much warms our heart.
Does that work out better for us or worse for us, what with Brexit?
I think it depends who wins the election, okay, as we record this later today.
That's true.
But no, it's very much appreciated. I noticed a couple more people have signed up this week. And again, I can't thank you enough. It's, as I said, it's just that extra little pat on the back, which we all enjoy. I mean, ultimately, we're all volunteers. And funding things like microphones and mic stands and bits and pieces like that does come out of our own pocket. So those of you who do donate very much help out the show and, as I said, give us that warm, fuzzy feeling inside, much like 3 points in the Northwest, which brings us on to the recap.
View from the Tarhurst end.
Recapping this week's Championship action.
3-0 win at Wigan. I don't think many of us saw a 3-0 coming. In fact, considering the week before against Nottingham Forest was the first time we'd won by two goals in about 12, 13 months, suddenly, like buses, all coming along at once. Three goals, all in the space of, 50, 60 odd minutes? Two in the first five. It can't ask for much better, Westy.
No, that's a killer blow. First 5 minutes scoring two goals on a team that have just sacked their manager and down the bottom of the league. The game was over in the sixth minute as far as I was concerned. But it was nice to see Reading score goals quickly. And not only that, there wasn't a lot of passes for that first goal from what I see. It was just bang, use the pace over the top, which we've got, and it produced the first goal. And after that, it was one-way traffic, really, realistically.
Yeah, Johnny, the man who got both of those opening goals, Gareth McLeary, he said to Get Reading that he thinks he's in the best form of his career, and giving credit to Yapstam for that. Would you agree with him? Do you think he's in the best form you've seen him at Reading?
I certainly do. I mean, I think I said on last week's show we were doing the player of the month, and in any other month you'd have said Gareth McLeary would have been a contender for it, but for Ali Alhabsi putting up some absolutely miraculous saves. And yeah, you can't disagree. I mean, Gareth McLeary, he's got a number of goals now. He's running at defenders. He's scaring them once again. He's got a number of assists. He's won a few penalties. You have to say that Yapstam has really brought out the best in him. I think he's struggled a little bit with injuries the last couple of years. I think he came back from the Copa America with, 3 or 4 hamstring tears or something like that. I remember Steve Clark complaining about that. So it now looks as though Gareth McLeary is fully fit and firing and confident. And, you know, we've known from the past that he can fire them in from 25 yards, but he can take a man on as well. He is a winger who can deliver accurate crosses, but he can also grab a goal for himself as well. And he's finally showing that.
Yeah, Westy seems really refreshed by this role that Stam's given him, this kind of loose sort of... He's almost, if there was a second striker, he would be it. I know Roy Bearens or Callum Harriott also gets licensed to go further forward, but McCleary is simply told to attack. He's not got that. You've got to shuffle back in front of the fullback anymore and defend. I mean, last season, we saw him end the campaign playing at right back. What a 4 or 5 months for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think last season we mentioned lots of times that he was well out of form. And again, his injury problems were well known back then. Last season, he was pretty poor. Because poor by his standards, you know, because we know that on his day, he's unplayable sometimes. And this year, he's been excellent. Again, Yap Stam's obviously released him. His injury problems seem to have disappeared a little bit. And it's making all the difference. And I think at the moment, him and Al Absey are first on the team sheet.
Yeah, he's already got 6 goals, Johnny. That's more than any other season he's got for Reading. Even those, you know, when we think of those great campaigns he had that decent spell in the Premier League season and the following year as well. But already beaten that. And the most he's got in any season for any club, the highest league total he's got is 9. So he's well on course to beat that.
Absolutely. And he could have had 7 had he not given away the penalty to Jan Kermagan. I think Yap Stam might have had a few words with him had he taken the penalty for his hat-trick, but instead he decided to take it to, or give it to the presumably now number one penalty taker.
Well, that does show kind of the spirit, really, that he's happy to give it to his teammate, not be self. I mean, we saw, you know, a few times, remember Nick Blackman wrestling the ball
wrestling
off people?
Away
at Derby, wasn't it? Or that was one where he took the penalty and...
Yeah.
I'm more amazed the amount of penalties we're getting this year. Mm. I think we had something like 3 last year. We've got 8 already or somewhere along them lines.
I think
it's amazing.
We said on last week's show it was 7. And they'd scored 4 of them.
So I think a couple on the rebound as well.
Yeah, so now it's what, 5 scored in 8.
Yeah, that's what we've got away with a couple, haven't we, on the rebound.
Yeah.
But it seems every week we're getting a penalty. Mm-hmm. Whether we're going to be known as divers, I don't know.
The nice thing for Kermagan is, and Shane Long, I remember Shane Long had this in the season he eventually started banging in 25 goals. He was working so hard. But the only real goals he seemed to be able to score were from the penalty spot. But they just kept his confidence ticking along, just kept the fans off his back long enough. And then they got the reward in the second half of the season. Now, again, I'm not expecting 20 goals from Jan Kermagan after Christmas. But the point is, it just really does boost that morale, even if it is just a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, my argument is Kermagan should be taking the penalties, really. He's a striker. He should be the one taking the penalties. I don't know why he hasn't put himself forward. I know he missed one, didn't he? A while back when he first came, I think he missed early doors and I don't think he took one since, but he's your striker, he should be taking the penalties. I think Kermagan again has been excellent so far this season without probably having the goal tally that we would like him to have, but like I said, doesn't matter as long as everyone else is scoring.
The thing is, he's getting himself into the positions and like you say, he's working for the team. I remember certainly against a game earlier in the season against Brighton where I don't know how he didn't score. He had 4 or 5 brilliant chances. And again at Wigan, he had a couple of decent chances as well. He had one that just got turned over the bar. He had another that was a shot that just went wide. He's getting himself into the positions. And, you know, we know that he's not that striker with pace he's going to get behind, but he's very good with his feet and he's certainly... You know, he's certainly strong and can win a header as well. And he's doing his job for the team. And obviously when you come out and you're losing and you're not scoring enough goals, he's the one the blame is going to fall on because you say every striker should be scoring goals. But when he is supporting the team and the team is winning, you've really got no complaints about what he's doing.
It's not only that. I mean, his defensive work, Kermagan, is excellent. I mean, you don't want your striker to be great defensively, but from corners, free kick, dead balls, I mean, it's not many times you don't see him winning a header back in his own box.
Well,
that keeps you in the side sometimes because it's important.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Yap Stam's substitutions, we've talked about them in previous episodes. He keeps Kermagan on the pitch, even if he thinks he's a little bit tired. He keeps him on for those defensive situations because he knows they're going to be up against it in the last 5-10 minutes. He wants that presence in the box. And that maybe is keeping someone like Adom Samuel or when he's fully fit a Yaku Mate out the side because they're not getting those little 10-minute cameos because Kermagan is so important.
I think it genuinely is. I think when you look at that side, especially the midfield, there's not many players you say are aerial threats. If Van der Berg plays, then he's a good defensive header of the ball. But the rest of them, no. And I think Kermagan will stay in the side for a long time because he is good defensively.
Yeah, one change, a couple of changes getting to the weekend's game, but the noticeable one was no Roy Bearens out of the squad entirely. I'm still not entirely sure if that was injury related or just form. I know Stam had mentioned in the pre-match, when I was talking to Charles about it, that he was considering resting him, but Callum Harriott comes in, okay, doesn't set the world on fire, but again, proves that Reading can get a result without Bearens, and the more you can rotate a squad and still get results, the better it is, because it shows you've got that depth.
Yeah, and I think it was important to take Behrens out of the firing line because, as always seems to happen with Reading fans, there does seem to be someone getting scapegoated. And I think Behrens was getting towards that stage because he had a very impressive sort of first month of the season when he first came in, a bit like Drenthe. I think I brought this up earlier in the season. Drenthe had he had all the tricks, all the flicks, but he never really delivered. And I think Behrens sort of got to that stage where after the first coat had sort of, you'd peeled off the first coat, you sort of looked at him, you thought, well, you're not actually doing that much. I think it was important for Stam to take him out of the firing line a little bit and, as much as anything, buck his ideas up and say, look, just because I've brought you in and you've played every game doesn't mean you're guaranteed a start. And he's going to pick people on form as well as pedigree.
I've said a million times, when you get players coming from abroad or different leagues, sometimes it takes them 6 to 8 months to get up to speed. And I think he's maybe a little bit a victim of that because he's played a lot of games. He wouldn't be used to playing 3 games a week, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. And that's what he's had to do. And I think taking him out of the side for a rest, I think genuinely, apart from McCleary, he's still the second best winger we got at the club. So I don't think it's a problem. I think it's a good thing he's given a rest, and I think he'll only benefit from it.
Yeah, a very rare occurrence as well on Saturday, Johnny, for a Yapstam side. They lost the possession battle, despite winning a game 3-0, where you think, well, that's a game where you dominate possession. They had less possession in this game, 49% to 51, so not exactly a hammering on that stake. But when you consider they had over 60-odd percent in a 4-1 defeat at Brentford, Westy, you hinted at it as well, the very fact that the first goal came from a bit of a direct ball. It's a positive sign that Stam's happy to evolve and let his side have a little bit more freedom in a game.
Yeah, I think I read an interview this week when he was saying we need to be more clever with our runs, and I think they're certainly more clever at Wigan, where they know, especially with Harriott and McCleary on both wings, you've got pace over the top. So why not use it now and again? Mix it up, because teams will get used to you trying to keep it at the back. If you play an odd ball over the top, it causes all sorts of problems. And again, possession doesn't win you matches. Goals do.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like you said earlier, it's the game situation. When you're 2-0 up after 6 minutes, it's not as though you need to keep the ball and try and probe and try and progress your play. You're quite happy to sit back and let them have the ball in front of you. I think, had we been 0-0 after 25 minutes, then it would have been a case of, right, let's get 60, 70% possession, because that's what we're used to. But like I say, when you're defending a 2-goal lead, it's almost a natural instinct to say, well, we don't necessarily need to try and control the game in the same way.
Play on the break.
Yeah, exactly. When you've got the pace of the likes of Harriott and the likes of McCleary, I wouldn't put Kermigant in that category, incidentally. Pacey. But it just show you that he's willing to adapt.
Yeah, if there was a slight area of concern, and Stam himself, we'll come on Stam's quotes later, but he says you learn more, if anything, from a win than you do a defeat, because it's the best time to reflect on things, because you've still got the good mood around, but you can tinker with things and people are much more happy to listen because they're not as grumpy. But, I looked at some of the underlying stats from the season so far to see whether, we justify this fourth place. And obviously, stats are the only stat that matters is your points and then your goal difference and then goals scored and so on. But anyway, we talk about this possession, and Reading are the top team for possession in the league. They average amongst the highest passes per game as well, but the pass quality isn't maybe still where it needs to be, I don't think. And if you look at the stat that I picked out, was here, they're averaging 9.4 key passes a game, which are passes that lead to chances. And for as much as possession as Reading have, as many passes, they're up around the 500-600 pass mark some games, that's only 14th best in the Championship. Are they doing enough with the ball for either of you two at the moment?
Well, I think you went back to, Yapstam talking about what he says after victories and after defeats, and after the Forest victory, we talked about this last week, he wasn't happy. And I could see why he wasn't happy, because I think Forest had about 25 shots to our 10 or 12, and certainly for a good portion of the first half, it looked as though Forest were going to get an equaliser and possibly, you never know, go on to win the game. I think in terms of this game, we were certainly a lot more in it. I think Wigan had more shots than
Reading.
Yeah,
they had 18 shots in this game. I think Reading had either 14 or 16.
But still, that's a little bit tighter. But it does just show you that Yapstam, yeah, he's always demanding more, and going back to the key passes, I think we almost try to create the perfect chance, and it's a result of that slow build, the slow possession based game, because you don't really get a chance to break at your opponent, and obviously that's something we've seen a little bit more of here.
Yeah, again, I can't disagree with any of that. But I think if you looked at, I don't know what the actual stats are, I don't know, but just off of my own experience of watching Reading this season, if you look at the amount of shots they've had and the amount of goals they've scored, they've got to be quite high because they don't seem to create a lot of chances, but they are scoring goals. And we're not conceding. Now, Al Habsi's got a lot to do with that, but all round, I think defensively this year, we're a lot more solid than we have been in previous seasons, for definite.
Yeah, you never want to rely on your defence to win your games. I mean, the ideal is that your strikers get you 3-4 goals a game. The defence can afford to have the odd slip up. But more realistically, especially in this division, you do need a good defence. And Reading have certainly had that this year. But you mentioned Ali Ahabzi and the role he's had to play. Again, a stat I've picked out here. Ali Ahabzi has had to make 57 saves this season, which is the second most of any team in the division. I only mention Ahabzi by name because he's the one that's played in every league game. Yeah. But across the division, you know, Ahabzi's had 57 saves to make. I said second most in the Championship. You look at the two teams who, by most people's estimations, are the two best teams in the league. Newcastle have had 32 saves to make. Brighton have had 36 saves to make. Now, that's as good as how Ali Ahabzi has been, and you could have Peter Schmeichel or Gordon Banks or whoever you want in goal, the more shots you have and more saves you have to make, chances are they're going to start slipping in. So it does sort of suggest that they do need to do a bit of a better job protecting him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you pointed at Forest there, and that was a prime example, because I thought on another day against a better side, Reading would have lost that game quite easily and convincingly as well. It's just on the day, Forest weren't that good, and now Abbsy was excellent. So, yeah, there's obviously an issue there. They are letting teams have too many shots of them. Sometimes it's of their own doing, overplaying at the back and getting caught. But standpoint at the start of the season, he said that's going to happen, and that comes of direct result of this sort of football. And I think the only problem they've got at the moment is by trying to play the way they're playing, they have to be faster in movement, because sometimes it gets a little bit ploddy. Whereas if you watch Arsenal try and play the same sort of system, they got runners coming from all different directions, and that's why they can't cope with them.
Just on a watchable level, away from the stats, Johnny, how comfortable would you feel with that back five at the moment? Or six, as it is sometimes. Do you look there and go, do you know what? I don't think they're going to get through us today. Or are you constantly sort of on fingernails when the opposition comes forward?
I think they're all solid Championship defenders / lower Premier League. I mean, if you want to go through and name them individually, Ali Ahabzi, we've seen what sort of form he's been in the last couple of months. Chris Gunter, an international right back for the eighth ranked team in the world.
Something along those lines.
Although, like we said, the FIFA rankings can often lie. Liam Moore, we've seen what a quality player he's been. Paul McShane, I think, if he has one weakness, it's his pace. But otherwise, you know, you're perfectly happy with him. And then Jordan Abita / Tyler Blackett. I think that's perhaps the one weak spot in the defence. But I think overall, you know, we've said it about a month ago, the defence is what you're happy with. But attacking-wise, we weren't getting the returns, if you like. Whereas now, I'm sort of more inclined to believe it's the other way round, and we're certainly attacking better. But in terms of defensively, I think we've loosened it up a little bit too much.
Yeah, well, ultimately, they've kept three clean sheets in a row. Now, that's the first time that's happened. I thought it would have been longer, actually, but it turns out it was only February under Brian McDermott, where they picked up a couple of 0-0 draws and a 1-0 win. So it's not as rare as we think, but certainly in the last few months, ever since, I think they basically went on a terrible run after this. So that's always a positive, and it breeds that confidence that, you know, you need to have that confidence in your keeper. And I certainly think at times last season, Reading didn't have that, especially when it was an ongoing rotation. So credit to Ali Ahabzi. We'll come on to the player of the month result shortly, but I don't think it's a shocker who's won it, considering what we've just been talking about. But again, and I really don't mean to be too negative here, Westy, but we have to look at things critically. Is this a case, though, that these three wins are fantastic, they've done well, but are they just beating up on bad teams? The last three teams we've played have been, I think, position-wise, 24th, 19th and 22nd coming into the game. And, yep, great, we've beat them, but does this create maybe a false sense of overconfidence, perhaps?
No, I don't think so. Like you said, away from home, there are no real easy games. Anyone on their day in this league has always been able to beat anybody. So if you're going away from home and you're beating teams that are in the bottom half of the league, that suggests that you're better than them. So if we can beat anyone from 12 downwards, then, and we can win our own games, that leaves you in the top six. Simple as that.
Yeah, well, their five away wins this season have come against teams who are currently, not, this isn't where they were when they played them, but they're currently 13th, 20th, 21st, 22nd and 24th.
Yep.
So that they're doing what they need to do. And again, you could spin this either way you like. Some would say, oh, well, you're just beating up on bad teams. Are you really that good? But the best teams are the ones that get these results. At Reading in previous years, I remember that playoff season under Nigel Adkins, we played Yeovil at home. I think they ended up with eight men.
Yeah.
And we couldn't beat them.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. But I would also say if we're beaten up on bad teams, that suggests that we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said last week, even if you're a mid-table team, you want to beat teams like Forest, like Rotherham, and the other team we played. I forgot.
Forest?
Forest, Rotherham, and...
Wigan,
yeah. Even if you're a mid-table side, I think of the next nine games that we've got coming up until January, seven of them are against teams in the top half. So I think once we get to January, we'll have a real sense of where this team really is. We're playing the likes of Fulham, Bristol City, Norwich, who aren't in the best form. And then I think the only two teams in the lower half are Burton and Blackburn. So certainly by January, once we've played teams who you'd expect to be around our level or certainly how we look to be, then you get a better expectation of where we'll be. But you can't complain with three clean sheets against three inferior opponents.
And last year, we wouldn't have gone to these sides and expected to get results, would we? And we weren't getting results at these sort of sides. So.
No, and again, the nice thing is they've made it slightly more comfortable every week. You know, from a 1-0 last-minute win at Rotherham to a 2-0 win over Forest and a 3-0 win at Wigan. They're showing...
Watch out, Burton, 4-0.
Yeah, absolutely. They're showing that slight bit more killer touch. Okay, they might not be overwhelming teams with chances, but like you pointed out earlier, Westy, the conversion rate is all that matters.
Yeah.
Whether you have... three chances to score three goals or 20 chances to score three goals. They all count. So that's what matters. So, as I said, fourth in the table. We've had a chance to look at 16 teams now in the Championship and we've probably seen bits and pieces of the other seven. Are Reading, do you think, the fourth best team in this league? Do you think they're in roughly that position?
Yeah, I do. I genuinely do. I don't think, looking at the other sides, there are as many teams that you could say are standout. I mean, Newcastle obviously could be up there just because they've got the money and the players to be able to be there. Norwich, all right, they've had a couple of bad results. But in general, when you look at their side, you'd think, yeah, they probably will go straight back up again or at least get close to it. Other than that, there's no other... Brighton came down here, wasn't overly impressed with them. I don't think there's anyone in this league that Reading need to be scared of.
Yeah, I don't think we need to be scared of anyone, but I'll say a couple of things, and that's... One is the goal difference. I think Newcastle have a goal difference of about 20 and Brighton have a goal difference of about 16. And then no one else has a goal difference above 5. So it just shows you that below those two teams, certainly at the moment, it's unbelievably tight. And certainly in terms of the points as well, I mean, we're fourth and we're on 28. But then you go down to a team like Ipswich in 15th and they're only on 21. So it's not as though there's a massive chasm between, say, third and... Well, you can go down to even about 17th. The QPR have got 20 points.
Yeah.
If we lose a couple of games now, you could easily see us get drop down to about, about 12th, 13th.
It's the same every year in this division, and it doesn't make no difference what season you look through. There's always a very fine gap between being near the bottom three and being near the top three. It's always been the same.
Absolutely. Well, okay, I'll come on to Yapsdown's thoughts in a second, but I'll be remiss of not having this particular trio together without talking a bit about gambling and the betting. Hashtag, the hashtag gambleaware. Reading were 3-1 to finish in the top six before the Wigan game. I've not seen the odds since then. How much money are you staking? Say, I'm giving you a choice here. You can either bet a pound, a tenner or 50 quid on it. What do you feel more comfortable putting on that 3-1 playoff odds? You're going basically for a little one, a medium one, or a big bet.
At the moment, I'd go big.
You go for the whole 50 quid?
Yeah, the 50 quid.
I'd be somewhere comfortable around the mid-range mark, around the tenner mark. Johnny?
Yeah, the top price at the moment is 9-4, the magic price of 9-4.
Wow, so close to 2-1 now.
Yeah, I'd go for the 10. Incidentally, above us is Newcastle at 1-150.
Brighton, value there.
That's confidence.
Brighton, Norwich, Huddersfield, Villa and Sheffield Wednesday. Are all better odds than us.
Yeah, I think Villa sort of started to shoot up the league a little bit recently. So
I think that with Steve Bruce, we talked about this on last week's show, with Steve Bruce there, the money they've got and the players they'll inevitably buy in January, I think they'll have a good
get
run.
There or thereabouts, yeah.
Okay, well, Yapstam's had his say on the game. You can read a few more thoughts up on thetarlesden.com, but the abbreviated, abridged version is this. He says, when things are going well, it's even more important to analyse things that aren't going well. It's more important to do it when you've won, because if you do it when you've lost, you're always analysing things too late. We always try to improve our game. Sometimes it goes better than other times, but we're quite consistent in what we want to do and we're getting results. The break is always welcome, but when you're in a rhythm, you want to play. So I just really like Yapstam and what he says after games. I just sit there and find myself nodding with it. I don't find him... I don't find him particularly exciting. I don't think I want to go for a beer with Yapstam, but I think this guy's going to be a good manager.
He reminds me in many ways of Steve Coppell. He's never over the top or has a go at his players. He's very much withdrawn sort of character, but when he says things, I think people listen, and that makes a massive difference.
Yeah, he's certainly different to the likes of Nigel Adkins and Brendan Rodgers, who you'd listen to them and just think, I don't believe remotely what you're saying.
No, they sound like they're trying to convince you.
Yeah, I always said they was used car salesmen, you know what I mean? You thought, they're trying to convince me to buy this car, but it's gone. It's at it.
What do you mean it's only got three wheels? I can see four.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think he's quite got the warmth and the humour that Coppell has, but I suppose it's always different when you come from, I know he spent a lot of time in the UK, speaks perfect English, but he's not quite got that rapport quite with the fan base, but I suppose that'll come.
But no, but he commands respect, doesn't he?
Mm.
But the way he carries himself and the fact that he was such a good player, I think if you're a footballer of sort of 20 to 30 years old, you have respect from before he even walks in the door. Yeah. So anything on top of that, you're going to run through brick walls.
Absolutely. Well, as we've just mentioned, fourth in the league. Savour it, folks. You never know how long it'll last, but fingers crossed it lasts throughout the whole season.
But is it like last year? It could slip away rather quickly.
Exactly. When we're doing shows around this time, we are talking about second place. It's quite the sharp four. But anyway.
And then we'll be saying, even though he was a good footballer, I suggest they fire him.
I was first on the Stam out bandwagon. Well, that just about wraps up the recap. We'll just move on to a couple of quick news bites before heading into Pub Chat.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Okay, only one real piece of news, and we hinted at it in the recap. So, Johnny, you are master of our Tarlhurst End Player of the Month award. Who has scooped this month's gong?
It was a record-breaking tally for Ali Alhabsi.
Wow, that's a shock.
Yeah, unbelievable, wasn't it? Rigged. He rigged it, definitely. He took 89% of the vote, I think, which is the highest we've ever had in the 3 or 4 years we've been doing them. The previous high was held by, either of you know? Either of you want to guess?
Danny Guthrie?
No.
Ali Alhabsi?
No.
Pavel Pogorelyak?
No.
Darren Caskey?
John Swift?
I don't think we were doing it in 98.
John Swift?
No.
Give us a hint. What season was it?
2014-15.
Okay.
Wait.
Adam Lafondre?
No.
Oh, who was it then?
Jamie Mackey.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God.
What month was that?
It was in the season that we went to the FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
How times have changed.
And it was in the month that he scored 2 at home to Bradford.
Oh yeah, good point actually. He was excellent.
Yeah, and didn't he get like a last minute goal at Bolton and scored 2 against Brighton. He had like a really great
month,
didn't
he? It's just his huge work rate, wasn't he? He was never the best footballer in the world, but he just run forever, wasn't he?
Everyone loved Jamie Mackey.
Yeah, he was a fan on the pitch.
He was having a party, wasn't he?
I felt really... I don't love anyone that goes to QPR, but I feel really sorry for him. He's just, again, just been ruined by injuries. Just seems one of these players that's just unfortunately destined to forever be in the niggles. But no, congratulations to Ali Alhabsi. I noticed he was in the Who Scored Player of the Month team as well, and I'm very almost certain he'll pick up the club's official award as well for the next home game. So,
and Ian Holloway's named him his goalkeeper of the season so far in the championship.
I thought you said the millennium.
Goalkeeper of the millennium.
He's up there. You know, Peter Schmeichel and Alhabsi.
But no, he has been excellent. I don't think anyone can deny that. And again, it's very rare that I think a goalkeeper, when you're winning games, is held in such high regard, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but while we're winning matches, it doesn't really matter.
And the other thing I'd say on it as well is John Swift won August, Liam Moore won September, Ali Alhabsi won October. It just shows you that Stam has got everyone playing, because in the last few seasons, one person has tended to go on a streak for 3 or 4 months. We've had the likes of Norwood, Guthrie, Pogrebniak, Blackman, all winning awards for 3 or 4 months in a row. Whereas now you've sort of got everyone playing or everyone peaking at different times. It's good.
Yeah, a bit of a spine emerging, which is what we've been calling for years. We want to see that solid spine where the workload shared. It's not all on a goal scorer, all on one defender, all on a goalkeeper. So long may that continue. And just one other poll open on the tarlhurstend.com as well. Johnny?
Yeah, the approval rating is going up or has gone up. So you'll be able to grade how you feel about Yapstam from a top rating of 5 to a worst rating of 1.
What would you be grading him right now?
It's difficult not to give him a 5, isn't it? Certainly in the context of what we've had previously and what he's doing at the moment, where we are, we're waxing lyrical about the team, how we're playing, we're in fourth.
I'd still probably lean just on the 4 side because I think it can be better. I don't think it's 100% perfect. He's not made mistakes. I think some of his team selection substitutions have still been a bit weird. But I'm being nitpicky, but I think fives have sort of, for me, reserved for when you're winning 3-0, 4-0, and you can't do no wrong.
Yeah, I think definitely a four. I think there's more to come, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But certainly closer to a five than a three for me. So anyway, we'll see how that comes up. Head over to thetalisten.com to vote on that. In the meantime, we will move on to Pub Chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
So this week's Pub Chat is a holdover from last week's mailbag. RSC Fan Abroad asked us to grade each of Stam's summer signings because he hasn't had much chance to watch the team so far this season. And we are nothing if not a giving podcast. And so we are duly going to do that. No handbags today. So sorry, Dave, you missed out on this one. But Westy, I'm sure you will do a fine job.
If I know Dave, he's probably already done it. He's grading himself at home as we speak.
Indeed. Right, so as mentioned earlier, 11 signings from Yapstam this summer. Some of them we've seen lots of, others not so much. I'm going to go through them. They're in a rough position order, but not entirely. We'll start with the goalkeeper, Anzi Yakola. How have you graded him? We're going to do this between 1 and 10. With 10 being the best and 1 being the very worst. Johnny, I'm going to start with you for Mr. Yakola.
Well, it's hard to grade him, really. I mean, he's only played, what, 2 games in the EFL Cup? 1 at Brighton, 1 at home to Plymouth.
He played 3, playing the MK Dons one as well.
He didn't play at Arsenal. No. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do any howlers. And I think someone last week brought up a question that, is it Yakola that's bringing out the best in Al Habsi? I disagreed because I thought Jonathan Bond was more than adequate competition last year, but you can't deny that whether it's the experience of Yakola as well that's helping out Al Habsi, so I'll give him a 6.
6 out of 10.
I genuinely think when they signed him, I thought he was going to be number one. I thought he bought a goalkeeper to put him in goal because, like I said, we had goalkeepers here already. And I think from the start of the season, Al Habsi was already good, but it certainly has improved this year, I think, a lot. I mean, he's cut out his mistakes. He's got away with his mistakes at the moment. but yeah, I think he's improved. Again, we said about improving the squad, and it's definitely improved the squad to have a goalkeeper that is genuinely contention for number one spot, whereas Bond, no, I've never had no confidence in him when he played. So you'd have to give him a 5 based on what we've seen, but again, you are judging it on nothing really.
Yeah, I'm giving him a 6. I think he's performed well when I've seen him. He seems very confident. He made a few good penalty saves in the Checkatrade Trophy. Yep.
Oh, I forgot that one.
Yeah,
he's a big strong lad as well. Yeah. He looks like a goalkeeper, and I think if I'm giving him a 5, it's because that is the lowest mark I can generally give him, thinking that if he was playing number one, he'd probably be up by 7.
Yeah, exactly. I said you can only really grade him on what he's been so far. Yeah. And again, so 6 of 5 and a 6 for Mr. Yakola. We move on to the man who got the ire of Arsene Wenger, Denzel Gravenberch. How?
A 10 for that alone.
just for the name. Westy, I'll start with you for this one.
He looks like a big lump, doesn't he? He looks like he's one of those players that you just put somewhere and hope it goes in the air all the time. from what I've seen of him, he looks like a big lug. I'd have to give him a 4.
4,
okay. I think genuinely you won't see a lot of him.
A big Johnny? Lug.
Technically, was Gravenberch the one we signed while McDermott was still in charge? And then, okay.
It was a free gamble, I think, that one.
Yeah.
haven't seen anything of him, really. Only when he got thrown up front when we went 2-1 down to Villa.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I could judge him on, and he looked like a big lug.
he looks like a...
So what is your mark?
5.
He looks 5? Like, that's, I see that quite generous.
I'd probably give him a 10 if I see him stood outside the Medeiros Stadium chucking people out.
in a high-vis jacket. Just wearing the away shirt, maybe.
I think there's definitely a career at Medeiros, but whether it's on the football pitch, I'm not sure.
It's enforcer. Outside the ground and on the pitch, Denzel Gravenberch. I'm giving him a 3. I don't think he's looked anywhere close to first-team standard. He's not young.
No.
I think he's, what, 22, 23? Yeah. And we were talking about this on the podcast extra with Charles. I think we both agreed we don't see a massive future for him.
No.
But it was a free transfer punt, and he could still prove us wrong. So 3 for now, but we'll see. Liam Moore. I'll kick this one off. I can't really go for much better. I'm going to give him 9 out of 10. I think he's added that stability that we've been missing. He's confident. He's got that experience. He just comes in with a breath of, and he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think you can tell he's not entirely happy with the way his time at Leicester ended. And he's just really improved that defence. He's bailed us out on numerous occasions. And yeah, the only reason he's not getting a 10 is because I think the defence have given away a few too many chances still, when he can't completely absolve himself from that. But otherwise, yep, 9.
Yeah, agreed. I love Liam Moore. I think he's a really good footballer. I'm going to give him an 8 just because, again, I think there's more to come from him. He's added that little bit of pace we was lacking last year at the back, and that helps him get the team out of trouble. And I think he's been a breath of fresh air since he came in.
I'm going to give him a 9. I think, yeah, as you mentioned, Dan, the fact that he hadn't played a professional match since January, and he came in and he just looked completely at home. He solidified everything at the back. And yeah, he's just looked utterly class. And I did like in the Wigan win for the second goal, it was him who intercepted the ball and then did one of those trademark John Terry charging runs up the pitch. Yeah. And he ended up further than Gareth McCleary, actually, for the goal, for the second goal against Wigan. So, I think he's just a very confident, very athletic centre-back. And I think he's the perfect partner for McShane, really, because, like I said, McShane doesn't have... He's not blessed with the greatest amount of pace, but I think Moore can bail him out of that. Yeah. They seem to be building up a very good rapport.
Okay. He's got great experience. I think McShane's got great experience. And Liam Moore, I think Leicester getting rid of him the way they did has only added fire to his belly that is going to benefit us long term.
Another one that arrived late in the transfer window, Tyler Blackett.
Yeah, I think Tyler Blackett's steady Eddie, isn't he? He's never pulling up no trees. I think he's one of those players at 6 out of 10 every week, so I'm going to give him a 6.
Okay.
But not because I think he's not a good player. It's just that I don't see a lot of him to think one way or the other. I just think he's one of those players that's 6 out of 10 every
week.
Yeah,
I'm going to go exactly the same as you for pretty much the same reasons. Johnny, anything to add? Or a different score to give?
No, I'll go for a 6 as well. I think, you know, he's obviously a more defensively inclined left back than Jordan Ibiita. I think he gets a...
Is he a left back? Just very quickly.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the other thing. I mean, we were talking about the height earlier, weren't we? And you're leaving Jan Kermagant on. I think that's something that Tyler Blackett's got ahead of Jordan Ibiita as well. He's, what, 6'2"?
Yeah, bigger.
He's certainly a lot taller. So he gives you a bit more presence. But like I said, I think for those defensive games where you just need him to sit back, absolutely bring him in. But he gets a nosebleed any time he gets near the penalty area, yeah. I think.
I think between the two of them, you've got a good left back.
You know, just fuse them together.
Tyler Obita is the dream.
That is it.
or Jordan Blackett. Joey Vandenberg. Johnny, I'll start with you here.
This is a very difficult one because I love him and I hate him at the same time. For 50 minutes, he gives you entertainment and he gives you bite in the challenge and he gives you a real fan favourite. Then he gets a yellow card and he gives you the frights because you think he's going to get sent off. I think I'm going to give him, I'll give him a 7,
okay,
for the fact that I think he's a very good player, but he just needs his head worked on.
Yeah, again, you can see why he gets sent off. He has been sent off in his career quite a lot. I think the higher you go with Joey Vandenberg, the slower he's going to look. I think Arsenal, he got torn to shreds at some periods of the game where just a little nick and see you later. But saying that, on the flip side, I think he's added what we missed quite a lot last year, a bit of steel in midfield. He's obviously a player that who wants to win games. He's not there for the pay packet. He has added a lot to the squad, and because of that, I'll give him a 7.
And yeah, I'm going to agree with you pretty much on all of the above. It'd be one of those things where I'd give a 6.5, but because I'm feeling in a nice positive mood, so I'm going to give him a 7. I do think he's a bit of a liability, and he's probably going to earn at least one other red card this season.
Oh, definitely.
At least.
But he makes the opposition think twice, and even the little bits of... It gets regrettable sometimes where he gets his bookings for dissent, but he's fired up and he clearly cares. So more of that, please. You know, just a bit less of the whole cards. I'm going to start not with you, Johnny, because I know what this is going to be. I'm going to start on John Swift. I'm not actually going to start on him, although he's not that big.
No, I think you could start on him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think I could start personally.
You might
start anyone.
You might start. He'll be finishing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe in some sort of hot dog eating contest.
He'll get Denzel behind him, don't worry.
Yeah.
I could probably start and finish the buffet quicker or longer than John Swift, but that'll probably be about it. Anyway, away from that, I'm giving John Swift likewise a 9. I don't think quite 10, because I don't think he's had the best last 2 or 3 games. I think he had a real sort of great little spell when he came first back from injury, but I think maybe just because opposition are more aware of him, he's been not found out, but kept out of games a bit more. But even so, when he has got the ball, he created that goal at Forest. He won the penalty the other day. He's always in games. He's that X factor. So 9 out of 10 for me.
He is an excellent footballer. But like you said, he does sometimes drift out of matches. I think when he could grab it by the scruff of the neck. But on that basis alone, again, he's added a lot to midfield. He's another one that you're going to put first on the team sheet. I'm going to give him an 8, only because, again, I think, like Liam Moore, he's not at his peak yet, and there's more to come from him as a footballer.
Yeah, I'm torn between 8 and 9 here. I think I'd just lean towards an 8, because, like you just said, I think he's drifted out a bit of games at times when the going's got a little bit tough. But you can't deny what quality he has. I mean, in terms of a technical footballer,
he's
as good as we've seen since Guilfi.
And his shooting, he's got a hammer of a right foot when he hits the ball.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, if you close down John Swift, then that takes away certainly a lot of our game. And the amount of goals he scored, the amount of goals he created, he's so important to that side going forward. So I'd probably lean towards an 8 rather than a 9, just because he hasn't put it together consistently. But then I guess that's the high standards he set when he came in.
I mean, John Swift will go on to bigger and better things, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, hopefully at Reading, but we will we'll see. Next, a household name, Sandro Vesa. He's played more times for Luxembourg than he has for Reading.
I think it was Liechtenstein, actually.
Liechtenstein. I do apologise to all of our Liechtenstein and Luxembourgian listeners out there. Sorry, Liechtenstein. They got absolutely humped by Spain in the only thing I've seen of him this season. But anyway, Mr. Vesa, any thoughts at all?
Can't have any thoughts, can we? Because we haven't seen him. I haven't seen him. Only time I've seen him was on the front of the paper the other week, and that was about it. Other than that.
We've got to grade him. I think, in a way, the very fact that we've got nowhere close to seeing him says a lot about the signing. Now, it could be one for the future, but again, he's not that young. I think he's, again, in...
He's 24, 25,
isn't
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, at that age, he should be up to speed by now. He's been here quite a while, hasn't he? Obviously, a couple of months.
Yeah.
He's been here a while.
And while there is competition, I mean, people like Quinn have been injured, Vandenberg's been injured for a time, and he's still been nowhere near the side. I'm giving
been
him...
He hasn't been in any squads, has he?
Yeah, I'm a bit like Gravenberch. I'm sticking with the same grade I've given him. I'm giving him a 3.
I think I'll give him a 3 just because I give Gravenberch a 4 and I see him play. So.
Johnny?
I'll go for a 3 as well.
3.
But again, it's a harsh call because we haven't seen enough of him to grade
but
him.
If you've brought a player to the football club, it should be with a view to playing, ideally. Otherwise, loan him out.
Yeah, but again, who's brought him to the football club? Because if it was my signing, then I'd want to put him on the bench now and again. But he's not even getting that sort of look in, is he?
The thing is, low-cost punt. Again.
Yeah,
and you have to sift through some bad signings on the cheap. Your Brett Williamses, your Marcus Williamses, your Carl Shepherds of the world to find your Longs, your Doyles, and your Stephen Hunts. So remains to be seen. Anyway, for now it's a 3. Uh-huh. Roy Behrens, this one I'm quite interested on. Johnny, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to go for a 6, just because, like I said, when he started the season, I thought he was really impressive. He was something that we hadn't seen in a while, which was, that flashy player, that exciting player, who got the ball at his feet and you thought, right, well, what's going to happen here? But, since then, I think, fairly or unfairly, he's got a bit more of the ire of Reading fans. And he's been taken out of the firing line. I think he's still a very good player on his day. He put across the shot for McShane's goal, which got us the win at Rotherham. So, he's not unproductive, but I think he's just gone a little bit off the boil at the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to go exactly the same as you for, again, pretty much the same reasons. It's a 6 from me.
Yeah, it's a 6 for me as well. He reminds me a little bit of Bobby Convey. He sort of floats in and out of games. I think, again, there's more to come from him. I think the more settled he becomes here, the better he'll look.
Yeku Mate, a player who's just coming back from injury, came on for a few minutes up at Wigan. I loved what I saw of him in the brief cameos, I think, against Plymouth. I thought this is a player that's got something about him. He's got that little bit of X factor you want to see in a youngster. We think this guy can make something happen. I know he's raw, but he's got something to offer. And this might seem an absurdly high mark for someone like that, but just it's more of a gut rating than anything. I'm giving him a 7. He got a couple of very unfortunate injuries straight away, which are beyond his control. But you can see what Stam thinks of him by the amount he's used him already. So for me, it's probably a generous 7, but I'm sticking with it.
I think it all depends. His career will all depend on the attitude he's got about his career. I think he has got the ability to be a very good footballer. He has been unlucky so far with injuries, obviously. I think technically he looks like a good footballer. He's got a bit of pace about him. He looks strong for his age. And I think if you look back in the past, and I remember saying years ago about Antonio that he looked like a raw footballer, but there was something in him. And obviously he's gone on to prove that. But this is, I think that Yaku is a better footballer than Antonio, and he could have a better career as long as he wants to.
Yeah, no, I think the thing with Yaku is like you say, with Antonio, and going back further, people like Theo Walcott, they're athletes that you hope can turn into footballers. I think there's no better team at the moment than Reading and then Yapstam to try and do that. And like you say, you've seen in brief flashes that he has got the ability. If he can get it all together, he could be a fine footballer.
So
I'm going to go for a six, just because he has been exciting. But you know, like we say on wingers, it'd be unfair to say Behrens has not delivered, but Yaku has. So it's a six from me.
Yeah, it's a six from me as well, yeah. Again, there's plenty more to come from him, though.
Yeah. Joseph Mendes, striker signed from the French leagues, French second tier. He's got a bit of a look in again, has struggled with injury in the last couple of weeks, but has been in and around the squad now for a while. Johnny, start with you.
A six. I think when he's been on the pitch, he's looked, you know, like your typical sort of hulking target man, really. And he's looked like he can do a job, but I don't think he's putting any significant pressure on Jan Kermagant for his position yet.
No, he's not putting enough pressure on him from obviously taking Kermagant's place. That's not going to happen anytime soon. Whenever I've seen Mendes again, he looks a bit like a lump. But I question how fit he has been when he's come on the pitch, because like I say, he has been injured. He did come over from France. It did take him a little while to get up to speed. So based on what I've seen, I'm going to give him a five. But again, I think that's rather a harsh mark based on the fact that I give Raul Behrens a six, and I don't think he's been better than him, definitely not.
Yeah, so I'm going to go five as well. Might seem weird that he's got 2 points difference between him and Mete, but I just don't. When Mendes comes on, I don't think this guy's going to do anything. I haven't seen anything from him at all to make me think that he will do anything more than a Dom Samuel or someone else like that. And I just think it's, again, a decent punt to take. You know, he's on a run of form.
Right. I think he'd probably end up getting 4 or 5 goals this season. It might help us late in games, you know what I mean, to grab wins. But yeah, from starting every week, you can't see that happening anytime soon.
No. And finally, Callum Harriott. Westy, start with you.
Callum Harriott, I think he had the opportunity recently to start a match. And I thought, my pool was over. Paul Williams, who'd done the show with me originally, he was over. And I said, this Callum Harriott, he looks like he could be a good player at this level. He's come on, made a few little cameos when he's come on last 10, 15 minutes, looked decent. He had the opportunity to start a match, and I didn't think he produced anything. So based on that, I'm going to give him a five, because he had opportunities to start and he hasn't really used them opportunities to get
five
in the first team. Yeah. Again, I think there's plenty more to come from him, but from what I've seen, I wouldn't put him above Behrens, and so I'm going to give him a five.
Okay.
Johnny? Yeah, I'll go for a five as well. I think he's in a similar territory to Yaku Mete, in that you can see he's an athlete, but he just maybe hasn't quite got the skills or hasn't got it all together yet. So plenty more to come from him, but yeah, five.
It's 5 out of 10. I'm going to give him a six, just because I think he's done well when he has been given the opportunities. He scored, you know, 2 good goals against MK Dons as well. And for as much as I think Behrens has been on a slow slide, I think Harriott's been on that slow upturn. I think they're kind of meeting in the middle. I think if you look at that overall body of work, the difference is Behrens had more opportunities and more minutes.
Yeah.
So, but right now, I think they're about, if you picked Behrens or Harriott, I would be thinking, oh, you know, it's a coin toss for me at the moment. So for that reason, I'm giving exactly the same mark, which is a six. Any final comments overall? Look at that. Just before I tell you what all your scores added up to, how would you, off the top of your head, grade out of 10 for the whole unit?
For all of them out of 10?
Yeah, just as a unit.
6.5.
Suddenly throwing half marks in there. I like it. Johnny?
Yeah, I'd probably go for a 7. I think in terms of what you brought in as starters, it's certainly a good start.
But worked much work to be done in January or not?
I think you've got a decent enough squad to cope at Championship level, but I think you'd need a couple more pieces to make it top quality.
Yeah, again, steady and improving, which I would say about it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, these marks, have I've added them up on the fly.
Counted, so, and verified.
Yeah, well, not verified. It came out, myself and Johnny were 67 out of 100, sorry, out of 111, 110 even, and Westy was a 63.
I hope you're not counting the votes in the US election tonight.
No, I'm not. Yeah, 11 players out of 10, that's 110. So yeah, I think it's, so, you know, it comes out a rough average of just over 6 out of 10.
be interesting to see what everyone else does at home, wouldn't it? If they come out similar, I'd expect it to be within the range of, well, 60 to 70. You'd have thought. Mm. Yeah, anyone above that is
the thing
deluded.
Is, if you took out Graven Birch and Vesa, players that we don't really see.
I wish someone would.
Yeah, if Graven Birch took out Vesa.
If you took out those two, I mean, we'll be talking close to a 7 out of 10 average, which I think is a more fair reflection. Mm. But like we hinted, we don't know who's making the signings, so I don't know whether to give Stan praise or Tevreden praise or whoever.
Tevreden clearly is doing something right. He's got a new contract, hasn't he?
He has.
So. Interestingly, the ones they've spent the most on, they've got the highest points.
Yep. I don't think there's much surprise there. Anyway, that wraps up. Anyway, do let us know how you feel, how you'd grade those signings. In the meantime, we'll move on to those who have sent us feedback ahead of this week's show. That is in the mailbag.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Big thank you, as always, to everyone who has contributed to the mailbag, to at the Tarlhurst End on Twitter, thetarlhurstend@gmail.com, and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend. We start with Chris Hartley, whose question I forgot off last week's show plan. Sorry, Chris. But as promised, here it is this week. He says, do you feel in January we should get another centre-back in, either permanently or on loan, and then loan out Cooper? It's just that the defence is still a little on the thin side. Think more defensive covers needed, chaps?
Yes, I think if you genuinely want to get promoted, you will have to bring in probably at least 3 players to push the team forward. Like you said, we're looking at what we just done on Pub Chat. There's probably players there you wouldn't put in that's going to boost the side any time soon. So, yeah,
basically. Any particular type of defender? Are you looking at a man who's going to come in and, you know, quick pacey guy that's going to come into the team? Are you looking for a veteran? Any sort of gut feelings? Are you looking for Zat Knight? I think Zat Knight's still available.
He's still playing, is he?
I don't think so.
Should we phone up Martin Keown and see if he wants to give up his Match of the Day gig?
Why not? He's only, what, 49? Anyway,
10 years on.
Johnny, do you think they need someone in, and anyone in particular?
I don't necessarily think you need anyone in, because I think at left back you've got 2 decent options. You've got Cooper behind Moore and McShane, who's a serviceable backup, I think. And as much as anything,
Joe Vandenberg as well, complaining, yeah, George Evans.
You know, as much as anything, I think it's going to be hard to go to a player in January and say, well, look, we want to bring you in at centre-back, but let's be honest, you're probably not going to start behind McShane and Moore, are you?
Yeah, you're going to have to ask for a ball-playing centre-back as well. I mean, I think that's why Cooper's chances will be limited, because I don't think he fancies him as a ball player. So yeah, and based on that, you'd have to get someone from the Premier League who can play football.
Yeah, the type of player then, you know, I think Johnny's hit the nail on the head. It's going to be difficult selling a guy, you know, and saying, oh, well, you might be third choice if you're lucky. I think what you want is kind of like what they did when they bought Sean Morrison.
Yep.
You want to go out and get like a League One defender who's on the way up, and you can sort of say to him, okay, for 6 months, bide your time, and then we're going to give you a chance to win a place in the summer. I think that's the only type of player you're going to get. Yeah, otherwise,
yeah, sort of players are about, you know, I'm not sure they are.
Yeah, or I, you know, I made fun of him, but a Zat Knight type, as in someone that's on a free transfer.
Anton Ferdinand up to these days?
But Anton, I think he's playing for Southend, but that type of player would be perfect. You know, just come in, you say 6 month contract, pay as you play. Get yourself back in, you know, get your name in the shop window.
Anton Ferdinand, that could be difficult. Pay as you play.
He did all right. Second season.
More money on a paper round.
But anyway, we'll move on. Dave Stevens, do you feel the international break has come at the wrong time, just as momentum is building?
We'll soon find out when we come back and get beat at Burton. So, I mean, as long as we come back and win, I don't think it makes a lot of difference.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I think you've got to be thankful that, well, greatest of respect to Burton, but that our first game back after the break is Burton. Yep. If it was Newcastle away or Brighton away, then you'd feel aggrieved that we wouldn't be able to carry on the momentum. But I think Stan will be able to get them up for a home match against Burton.
And I think when you're winning, your confidence is there anyway, whether it's a 2-week break or not.
And as much as they've got the momentum going, I did think tiredness was setting in a little bit with some players. I think it's good to give players a little bit of a break. I know a lot of them are going away with their countries, but it'll do players like Behrens. I'm not sure if McCleary's going away with Jamaica this break.
Let's hope not.
Shrugs all round. But just players like that, Kermgant especially. Kermgant needs to put his feet up for a couple of weeks. Get himself ready and raring to go. So I think it's actually come at a good time for Reading. It's not as well, you know, okay, you know, we've talked about this in detail, but if they were beating the very best sides, then yeah, you may want to keep roll. But, you know, they have been playing some of the worst sides. So it's not like they've hit a level of performance that's going to be impossible to get back to.
Yeah, no, I don't think, again, it's not going to make a great deal of difference. I think it'd be fine.
Right, moving on. Hugh asks, hypothetically, if we went up next season, how many of the current squad would be good enough to keep us up?
4.
We'll go through it very quickly. we'll go through a very quick yes or no. No explanations needed. So Alhabzi,
Yeah, I think he's played in the Premier League, so you'd have to say yes.
Yeah.
Gunter?
I think, again, he's probably a top-level Championship.
Is that a very quick yes or
right
no?
Right back. Yeah. Or a lower Premier League, so yeah.
So it's a yes. Yeah. So yeah, yes around more, yes.
Yes.
Yep.
McShane?
Again, I want to see him sat on the bench in the Premier League. I want it to improve from
that. I think his pace could be getting
faster. But again, if he's on the bench, you think, well, he's a decent substitute.
Either Blackett or Obita.
No.
6 out of 10.
Yeah, no. Danny Williams.
Maybe.
I like Danny Williams. It's just he's ball playing.
I think he'd do a job, so I'm going to say yes.
Again, he's another player you'd expect to sit on the bench.
Yeah, John Swift.
Definitely.
Yeah. Roy Behrens.
No.
Or Callum Harriott.
No.
You expect them to be sat on the bench.
Gareth McCleary.
Yep.
Jan Kermigan.
No.
Trying to think who else. George Evans.
No.
Joey Vandenberg.
No.
Don't fancy 10 minutes. Premier League, Joey.
The higher you go, the slower he looks.
Anybody else I've not mentioned?
No, I don't think there is. So I think we picked 4 or 5 out of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of work would need to be done, I think, safe to say. I think, just very quickly, is there more or less work to be done on this team than the last team to get promoted in 2011-12? I would actually say there's less work to be done because I think that team was playing so far, not far to you, because you can't play above your potential, but that was playing to its absolute maximum. There were so few players that were cut out for the Premier League in that team.
We've discussed this before. It was Roberts that made the difference, and without him, then it went back to a Championship side again.
Yeah. So do you think there's more work to be done or less work to be done?
Slightly less.
Slightly less, Johnny?
I think there's slightly less work.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that as well. RSC Fan Abroad, who kindly provided this week's pub chat, as mentioned before, he asked this time, are we the real deal this year or are fans getting ahead of themselves? I think we've kind of answered that. You can only...
We're the semi-real deal.
Deal or no deal? We're sort of at the halfway point.
We're a factory outlet.
We are work in progress that's there to improve, I think.
Personally. I don't think the fans are getting overboard, to be honest. I think, after the last few seasons, especially last season when we got burned badly when we were second after October, I think fans are a little bit more, at least outwardly, they're more feet on the ground.
Yeah, and I think that Forest game, for one thing, to me, last year they would have lost that game convincingly.
Yeah.
And playing badly and winning games is always a good sign.
Very much so. Another hypothetical question comes from Ben. Out of our current squad, who, if any, would get into the 2005-06 team?
None.
Yeah, none.
None.
Yeah.
Oh, Abseil maybe. Hanneman was steady, but he wasn't a great goalkeeper.
I think he's probably still at a par. I liked his distribution more than El Hamzy. I was going to say Chris Gunter over Graham Murty as a footballer, but then you were taken to the captaincy bit for Murty's game.
Yeah, I mean, even Sonko wasn't a footballer, but you'd be pushed to take him out of that side, wouldn't you?
Mm. Yeah, you just can't break up the unit.
You couldn't put Swift in place of like Sidwell or something.
No, it was such
or Harper.
Well, as it proved, 106 points.
And the strike force, we don't need to look at it. We know exactly what we take.
Are you suggesting Joseph Mendes wouldn't get in ahead of Dave Kitson?
No.
Is that what you're boldly saying? Okay. I'm going to go agree with you. As much as I'm thinking about individuals, I can't replace any of them. So, zero.
But you're saying that was a team the next year that finished eighth in the Premier League. And that was a Premier League team in the Championship. Simple as that.
Dave McCormick, who writes our alternative view every week, and very much encourages you to check that out. He says, all this talk of keeping players in January, I'm worried about losing Stam as it's silly seasons for managers coming up in December. Any chance you can see Yapstan walking away from Reading by his own accord before the season is over?
I don't think he would, because where would he go? I mean, it's difficult to say. I mean, I think certainly he'd give it until the end of this season if he were to choose.
The only scenario I could possibly see him taking is if there is a team, either a top team in Europe or a team that is probably championship bound, say... Maybe not a Hull because they're in such...
Sunderland.
A Sunderland or a Swansea came to him and said, look, we're probably going down this season.
Swansea have just got Bob Bradley, so...
Yeah, but that's the type of team. We want you to rebuild, come in, here's a load of cash, do what you want. That's about... But even then, it's far-fetched.
Yeah, I think it's far-fetched. I think Stam is clever enough to know that if he does a good job at Reading this year, even if we don't make the playoffs, even if we, finish sixth and get beat in the playoffs, I think it'll look great for him and his first season, turned it around from where it was. And the thing that he's got to his advantage is, one, obviously he's a well-known footballer, and also he's played in Italy, he's played in England, he's Dutch, So there's lots of countries that would look to take him as a manager. I think we won't have him long. Let's just hope he does a great job while he's here. It's a great stepping stone for him anyway.
And the final question goes from Jack Simmons. He says, with five senior players out of contract this summer, based on performances so far, who would you offer a new contract? He's listed McCleary, Williams, Cooper, Kermigant, and Ali Alhabsi. I'm not sure Jake Cooper's out of contract this summer.
Arguably.
I can't remember if he's, but anyway, I haven't got the data in front of me, so let's take him at his word. We'll believe you, Jack. And apologies for doubting you if you are 100% correct. But out of those five, who are you giving new contracts to right now? I know McCleary's got an option on his deal.
Depending on what league we're in, if we're in the Premier League, probably Cooper and Yam would have to leave. If we're in a Championship, you'd be hard pushed to get rid of any of them and replace them with anyone better. On the budget we've got.
I think a lot depends on what Kermigan wants to do in the summer, if he wants to slog it out for another. Because he's probably not enjoying this role. We've said it all season, it's not the role he's built to do. He probably doesn't want to take this constant punishment up there on his own as the focal point. So I don't know that you'd keep him just on that basis. McCleary, yeah. Williams, wages are an issue. I have no idea what the state of the club's finances are going to be next season.
I'd be interested if Williams could get that sort of wage anywhere else, though. Yeah. I think Reading could easily say to him, well, we're going to drop your wages and ask him what he wants.
Well, Jack says, I would happily have them all here next year. Williams' wages would be my only concern.
Yeah, I don't think we'll keep Cooper, especially if we have Stam, because Cooper will say, look, I'm 21, 22. I want to go out and play somewhere. And he's good enough to play somewhere.
Unless, of course, he kicks on in the next 6 months and he knuckles down and improves.
It's improvement in him.
We'll remain to see. But anyway, I'm sure we'll talk about that much more as the season wears on. So thank you, all of you, for your feedback this week and every week. You can send your thoughts in whatever. We're not doing a show next week, but please do keep the thoughts coming in anyway. thetarlestend@gmail.com, facebook.com/tarlestend, and @thetarlestend on Twitter. Just time to move on to a couple of little bits and pieces in any other business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Any other business.
Okay, with the international break upon us, we're not really going to preview the games in detail as we normally would, but just very quickly, gents, the next three games: Burton at home, Bristol City home, Fulham away. Teams in 18th, 9th and 8th, just off the top of your head, if you were targeting those for a point, what would you be targeting as your minimum and what would you really be hoping for?
I'd be targeting at least 7. I'd be hoping for at least 6.
Presumably, no, yeah.
I think after the what happened at Fulham away last year, I think we certainly need to put some ghosts to rest.
Yeah. With two home games, you'd hope you'd have at least 6 points from them three games.
And like we said earlier, I think what you want to see from this team now is that they can compete against the teams that are around them in the table. Because we've seen that they can beat up the little teams or the worst teams or the teams who are out of form. Yeah, like I say, it's when you come up against teams in 7th, 8th, 9th, that's when you know what you're
I would even take 5, because I think if you say you're unbeaten for those three games, I think then you're happy. I think you can afford the odd little home slip-up. If, say, Bristol City came and played well, then we've got people like Tammy Abraham, who's on fire. Fulham are coming into real form as well. They picked up, they smashed Huddersfield and then beat Brentford, two teams that gave us good games. Even Lucas Pearson seems to be playing well.
Yes.
They nicked our song yet?
Real sign that the apocalypse is near. I don't know, they've not got either John.
They had Collins, John, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, he's his brother, isn't he? Yeah. Maybe when Wolves play Fulham, we'll see it back. Because one set of fans can sing Ola, 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 John, and there goes Pearson. Anyway, so that is that. Prediction league-wise, Charles Watts continued his fine run of form. He got none of us got the scoreline right, but most of us got three out of five of us got the result right, being myself, Westy and Charles. We all predicted various wins for Reading, leaving Charles on 18 and me, I'm on 17. Westy, you're on 16, Johnny's on 15 and Handbags props up the table, but on a respectable 12.
It's like the Championship, it's tight.
Very tight, 6 points between the top and bottom spots. I won't get your predictions ahead this week. I'll give you a couple of weeks to see who comes back from injury and whatnot, but we'll keep an eye on that one. And just finally, international week. Anything you particularly look forward to? England, Scotland?
Yeah, the old chest pumping game that we win easily and a boring match.
Yeah. I must admit, that'd be a good game.
I love the start of it. I think the best thing about England Scotland internationals is the singing at the start.
Yeah.
And then it just turns into mediocre football as usual.
Up on thetarlestend.com, closer to the game, I think it's Friday, isn't it? I will be having up my all-time Reading Scottish 11.
Oh, should be, yeah, I think most of them be from the Burns era.
A lot of them are from the Burns era as well. But, you know, Steve Archibald's in there.
Yep, I was seeing him play.
You were one of in his only game.
You are, I know. Swansea, wasn't it? Swansea,
Huddersfield, is it?
1-0.
Yeah, I can't remember. I didn't watch it.
It was Swansea or Huddersfield.
Yeah, it was one of those two as well. And yeah, a few slightly dodgy Scottish players that aren't really Scottish have made it. It's Alex Pearce, Oxford born and bred, plays for Republic of Ireland. He's in there.
Dodgy.
He played for Scotland under 21s. He counts.
Counts. Jim Leighton.
Jim Leighton is also in there as well.
Could have a lot of goalkeepers. Well, at least two.
Scott Howie. Yeah, Scott Howie's another one. It's players that didn't make it into my list included Andy McLaren.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he made it to anyone's list.
Darren Campbell didn't make it either.
Oh.
Yeah. All these.
Jimmy Mack, he must have made it.
Jimmy Mack did make it, yeah.
Cool. Now it's one for do at home, you know, let Scottish
Indeed, 11. Yeah. So you can look forward to that later on in the week. As mentioned, please go and vote in the Yapstown approval rating. And again, I sorry to sound like a broken record, but if you do have that couple of quid every month and you just want to shut me up, if loads of people go and donate this week, I will shut up and stop banging on about it. The crowdfunding campaign, it is the link you can follow on the article that accompanies this website. We're going to have a new crowdfunding page hopefully up in the next couple of days as well. There'll be an article to go along with that on the main page, so stay tuned for that one. I'm sure you're all eagerly awaiting it. And as always, plenty of great content up on thetarlhurstend.com. But gents, thank you very much indeed for joining me this week. As mentioned, no show next week because of the international break. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. I'll be back with Charles just before that Burton game as well for a podcast extra. But in the meantime, thanks for downloading and listening and reading, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Go on, you ass. It's funny how the crowds always leave a trail. Funny how the crowds always leave a trail. Funny how they always leave a trail. You smile, you smile. Funny how the crowds always leave a trail. You know when it's too many times on your trail. Funny how the crowds always leave a trail. You smile, you smile. Funny how the crowds always leave a trail. You smile, smile.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.